Proverbs 7:13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. Now it's getting interesting. So she caught him. Caught is the past tense of catch, and catch means to capture, especially that which tries to escape, hence to ensnare, surprise, overtake, reach, get at. It's to take forcible possession of, capture, such as a town, castle, ship, country, etc. So when you catch something, you catch it, right? Yeah, that made a lot of sense. When you catch something, you capture it. There we go. You can't define a word with the word itself, right? You capture it. You ensnare it so that it can't escape. And this is something that hunters do when they try to catch the prey. And the strange woman is a hunter too. She's a hunter of men. Proverbs 6:26. It says, for by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And when she finds one, Proverbs 7:15, says, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. So she's hunting, and when she finally finds some unsuspecting young foolish man, she catches him in her narrow pit, Proverbs 23:27. Just like a hunter would dig a pit, a long time ago, would dig a pit to catch an animal so it would fall in the pit. The strange woman hunts men. She has a pit that she's wanting him to fall in. Proverbs 23:27, for a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. What happens when you fall in a deep ditch or a narrow pit? It's hard to get out of, right? Because it's so tight in there, and you fall in and you can't even move, and it's really hard to get yourself out. It's kind of like this... this video that I saw of a sheep the other day. Did I tell you?
I was just thinking about it.
Funniest thing. This little sheep, there was a ditch dug in a field. And it was narrow, like this narrow pit. And the poor little sheep had fallen in the ditch. And he's down there head first. And a young kid comes along and pulls him out by the leg. And then he gets a belt on him. And he pulls him up out of the ditch and gets the belt off. And as soon as the sheep gets free, he goes running along the ditch. And then he makes a big leap, and he leapt straight into the ditch again, head first. It's the funniest thing. And that's why the Lord calls us sheep, because we're stupid, like sheep. I was telling my dad that, and my dad grew up on a farm, and they had sheep. And he's like, oh, sheep are the stupidest things. And he started telling me stories about how dumb sheep are. But that was hilarious, and it just reminded me. And furthermore, it also reminded me, just like kind of a spiritual parable there of, the Lord pulls you out of the ditch, and no sooner does he pull you out of the ditch and you go running away and jump straight back into it again, and he's got to come pull you out again. So anyway, but the little sheep, when he got down there in the ditch, there's nothing he can do. He can't get out. He couldn't even turn around. He couldn't crawl back out. He's stuck. And that's what happens with the strange woman. She gets you down there in the ditch. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 14. It says, the mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. So, to the man that falls into the pit of the strange woman, you better be very afraid, because it says, he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. So, I'd be, God forbid that ever happened, I'd be begging God for mercy and trying to have every ounce of assurance of salvation that I could possibly get, because I'd be scared to death that I'm hated of God, that I'm not even one of God's children. So she finds one, she catches him in her narrow pit, and then she uses her snares and nets to catch him. She has a snare and a net set up in that pit. Ecclesiastes 7:26. Just like a hunter. I mean, it makes so much sense. She does exactly what a hunter does, because she is one. Ecclesiastes 7:26. Solomon says, I find more bitter than death a woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Excuse me. So her heart's snares and nets, and her hands are as bands. Bands are like handcuffs, you know, that would be put around your wrists or your ankles. So she's got her snares and nets that she catches men with. And what are these snares and nets that she catches men with? They are her flattering words. Proverbs 7 in verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him. She forced him right down into that deep pit with her words. Now, I think this is really interesting. Why do you think whores, harlots, and strange women are called hookers? She hooks them. Yeah. She catches them, right? A hooker is one who or that which hooks. A thief who snatches away articles with a hook. A pilferer, a thief, a watch stealer. Now, fourthly, it's a prostitute. I just thought that was interesting. When you see what the strange woman does and she catches her prey, I bet you that's why she's called a hooker. She grabs men by her attractive and alluring looks and by her flattery. Hooks them just like a fish.
Didn't it say earlier something about her eyes also? With her eyes.
Oh, she'd take them with one of the... that's in Proverbs chapter 6. Lust not after a beauty with thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids.
Yeah.
Verse 25. Yep, that's right. So it says, so she caught him and kissed him. Now I looked this up. This is the only instance in the Bible of a woman kissing a man as the initiator. Like as the one that's actually initiating the kiss. I thought that was really interesting. I searched the phrase, kissed him, not he or she, or just kissed him. In every other place in the Bible where the phrase kissed him is used, it is speaking of a man kissing another man. They meet and he kissed him. You never, ever see in the Bible, except for this place in Proverbs 7, where a woman meets a man and kisses him. It's always the other way around. Jacob kissed Rachel. Was it Leah? I forget. I think it was Rachel. Isaac kissed Rebecca whenever he first met her, but the woman is not the one doing the initiating. Now, if you're married, it's obviously fine. Nothing wrong with that. So this is good evidence that women in the Bible were not the initiators of first romantic kisses, right? When people in the Bible went out on dates, if they did, it wasn't the woman that was initiating the first kiss, and neither should it be here. So you want to beware of the woman who initiates a first kiss on a date. If she's that aggressive, she's most likely an unprincipled woman and an immoral woman. More than likely. You know, probably not the kind of woman you want to go after. A woman who does so is immodest, and we'll see that when I define impudent here in just a second. Now, the woman that initiates a kiss on a date is one thing. That's something you probably want to stay away from. But a woman that initiates a kiss before she's even spoken to you, that's really bad. You definitely want to stay away from that. You especially want to be wary of that woman. If she hasn't even said hi yet and she lays one on you, she's probably bad. That should be a big giveaway right there. This should have been a huge red flag to this young man. Now, unfortunately, many young men would be all too happy to have this happen to them. Which is why they need to hear and heed Solomon's warnings. I mean, I know lots of people that I used to hang out with when I was younger. I mean, that would be like a dream come true, something like that happened. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to leave you hanging. We're not going to get into what she said to him until next week. But she says it with an impudent face. Impudent is wanting in shame or modesty. Shameless, unblushing, immodest, indelicate. That's why I said the woman that would be the initiator of the kiss on a date, she's immodest by definition because she did it with an impudent face, she says to him. So she is not a modest woman, which we already found out by the way she was dressed. She was dressed with the attire of an harlot, so she doesn't dress immodestly and she doesn't behave. She doesn't dress modestly and she doesn't behave modestly. Now, a strange woman is immodest and has no shame, according to the definition here, of impudent. Shame is the painful emotion arising from the consciousness of something dishonoring, ridiculous, or indecorous in one's own conduct or circumstances, or in those of others whose honor or disgrace one regards as one's own. So you can be ashamed of something that somebody else does that you kind of feel like, you know, that disgrace ends up being on me because you're my child or you're my husband or you're my wife or you're my parents or something like that. Or of being in a situation which offends one's sense of modesty or decency. Shame is a good thing. It's a good thing when people can be ashamed, I should say. Shame is actually, it's a sad thing. But it's a good thing to be able to be ashamed. There are people today, many people in today's world, that they can't be ashamed. They're not ashamed. You see the way that women walk around and the way that they dress out there. And they're not ashamed. I'm ashamed for them. And if they were my daughter, sister, mother, whatever, I would definitely be ashamed. But this woman has no shame. She will say things to a man that no decent woman would. She'll just say things like that, just walk right up to him, lay a big wet one on him, and then start talking all this seductive language to him. It just doesn't bother her one bit, doesn't cause her one bit of pain. She's got a whore's forehead, and she refuses to be ashamed. Look at Jeremiah 3 and verse 3. It says, therefore the showers have been withholden. This is because of Israel's sin. And there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. That forehead, that like that hard forehead, that stubborn forehead where nobody's going to tell me what to do. You got a whore's forehead. Refuses to be ashamed. She won't blush. Her forehead doesn't turn red. She's got a whore's forehead. It says in Zephaniah 3 and verse 5 that wicked women and men, for that matter, they know no shame. See, this is the kind of thing, shame that is the kind of thing that used to keep our society as a decent society. Even though probably the majority of the people in this country have always been reprobates. The majority of mankind are reprobates. But when you had a country that was influenced by Christianity, and when people did things that were biblically unacceptable, they felt shame because of how the culture, how the Christian culture looked at them. Unfortunately, people don't feel that anymore. That's why two people can fornicate, live together before they're married. They don't have any shame. I mean, there's not whatsoever. I mean, they wouldn't ever have to worry about even one person in this society looking down on them. Think about it. They're not. They have no worries whatsoever. They know no shame. Zephaniah 3 and verse 5. That's Zechariah. Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3, 5. Says her princes within her are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves. That's the wrong verse. 3:5. There we go. I was on verse 3. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust know no shame. They cannot be ashamed. And they can't blush. This is what you do when you're ashamed. You blush. Your face gets red. There was a time, look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah 6:15. There was a time in this country if women would have walked around back then dressed like they are now, they'd be blushing. They'd be ashamed of themselves. But not today. If a woman got pregnant out of wedlock 100 years ago, she'd be ashamed. Right? When that was found out, she'd be blushing. But you wouldn't see her because she'd be shipped off somewhere for the next 9 months to go live with Uncle Joe or something for some made-up reason until the baby's born. People kept that kind of thing secret because it was a shame to do something like that. Jeremiah 6:15. They were ashamed when they had committed. Were they? It's a question. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. When you have a country, a culture, where people can't blush anymore, when they can't be ashamed, it's a culture ripe for judgment, because the Lord says, they're going to fall with them that fall. I'm going to visit them. The time of my visitation is coming. And, well, I don't know, maybe they'll be ashamed at that time, but probably not. So this woman, to put it bluntly, is a slut, a woman that acts like this. A slut is a woman of dirty, slovenly, or untidy habits or appearance, a foul slattern. There's some new words for you. A slovenly woman, a slattern. It's a woman of, now that was the first definition, that's not really what people mean by that typically. Secondly, it's a woman of low or loose character, a bold or impudent girl, a hussy jade. That's why I say she's a slut, because she literally is an impudent woman. With an impudent face, she said unto him, she's a slut. So if you meet a woman who is not ashamed of how she dresses and talks, then do as Proverbs 5:8 says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Because that's a bad woman. Bad woman that walks around half naked and doesn't even bother her. Stay away from her. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.